like committing a crime.
You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. That's the Bahamas, their new album, which I'm madly in love with, Earth Tones. I'm Tasha Sims, and tonight we have a special guest. I'm so excited. Matt Kahn. He's the author of the best-selling book, Whatever Arises, Love That, as well as his latest, Everything Is Here to Help You. He's a spiritual teacher, an empathetic healer who has become a YouTube sensation with videos that are often humorous. He uses his intuitive abilities and feels the emotions of others, able to pinpoint whatever might be blocking your heart from opening. As a result, he brings forth revolutionary teachings, both through the written and spoken word, that assist energetically sensitive beings in healing the body, awakening the soul, and transforming reality through the power of love. And the good news is he's coming to Vancouver. Six-city tour. He's celebrating the release of his book, Everything Is Here to Help Us, A Loving Guide to Your Soul's Evolution. So June 8th, there'll be a two-hour event. June 9th, a full-day event, all happening at Unity of Vancouver on Oak Street. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Well, thanks for having me. It's truly an honor to be here with you.
Oh, I'm excited because I got to tell you, I mean, I interview a lot of people, and I hadn't, I'm not a YouTube person, I'm not particularly social media into it, but I did for this show, and I think you're awesome. I really, really, like, there were a couple of key pieces that I really want to open up, because, first of all, you made me cry. Like, well, you didn't make me cry, but you opened, your talk was so, first of all, you're real, you're humorous, but there's something... I don't know, like you're not, you're relatable. I think that's a big piece. So maybe we could start, for listeners who don't know you, with your, give it some personal context. How did you get to this place where you're answering this call of helping people with their soul evolution?
Absolutely. I think it began for me, you know, in my childhood, where I had a very confusing experience that I think maybe many of those of us that are listening to this call can resonate with. When I was a kid, I couldn't determine or divide my feelings from the feelings of other people. And I would interpret other people's feelings that I had the ability to feel and tune into. I would interpret their feelings and their emotional state as what they thought of me. So I would feel other people's pain, and I would think that I wasn't well-liked because of how I interpreted it. And so what I would do is I would spend time trying to cheer people up, thinking only when they felt better was I well-liked. And so I call this process vibrational codependency, where I don't know how to be okay unless other people are okay, because I'm empathing their feelings, and then I'm interpreting that as their view of me. And this was a very big milestone in my spiritual journey, because even as a kid, this was just showing me, and I wouldn't know this for many years to come, but that my intuitive abilities, my empathic healing abilities, from a very young age were blown wide open. And I just didn't have the maturity or the awareness to really know how to understand it. So I spent most of my life just being entangled with other people's emotions. And of course, that was purposeful, because it created this entire 30 plus spiritual journey where, as my intuitive abilities kept developing, I would literally just have conversations with the universe just as clearly in my mind as I'm having with you, and I would learn about the universe and consciousness and awakening and healing and transformation. And at a certain point, the universe started, you know, in the most unexpected moments, would give me a message, like at the grocery store, and say, hey, go to that person over there and deliver this message. And the feeling in my body was, if I don't deliver this message, I feel like my heart's going to jump out of my chest. So I would go to someone I didn't know and say, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, the universe is telling me to say this to you. And they would have this huge breakthrough as a result of that. I don't know what I'm doing or how I'm doing it. I'm just following the urge within me. And I kept doing that. And slowly but surely, this entire mysterious process of just sharing with people what the universe told me to share turned into this ability to literally tune into people's hearts, to know and determine what blocks their heart from opening, and to assist them in unraveling all aspects of ego to awaken the light of their soul, which of course is a process step by step that led me to write this book, Everything Is Here to Help You.
Mm-hmm. And so was it following that inner guidance that was the pivotal piece in you healing this vibrational codependency and getting in touch with your own needs? Because it'd be hard to be in relationship if you're doing what you described. It's a really great two words, vibrational codependency. But how did you heal it?
Well, what happened was is that as I would go through my process, of course, I began to know the difference between my feelings and other people's feelings. It was almost like as my intuition would expand, my emotions would feel like a very specific frequency, almost like a, it's almost like if a feeling could be a color. So my emotions would be red and other people's would be green. So I could very much determine vibrationally, okay, this is mine, this is theirs. So as my intuition developed, I began to see the difference between my experience and their experience, which is very helpful. Mm-hmm. And in addition to this, as my conversation and connection with the universe intensified throughout my life, I began to find my wholeness and my sustenance and validation from my direct connection with the universe so that I could relate to other people. But it was as if other people could just offer me as much or as little as they could. And that was wonderful because my main source of sustenance and nourishment came from my direct connection.
It would take the pressure right off every relationship where you needed something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what, like, there's, to me, the word co-creative is a really important word. Do you feel you work co-creatively with the divine or with the universe or spirit, whatever word you want to use? Is that a word that resonates? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. It's a co-creative process. You know, I'm fulfilling the destiny that was created for me, and I'm also making the choices that reflect my level of consciousness that also determine with my free will the quality of my experience. So there, in my experience, there is both a destiny, there is both a set-in-stone destiny, and I'm simply following the breadcrumbs to bring to my life what was always meant to be. And at the same time, while there's a destination that's set in stone, I'm determining the journey, I'm determining the road, I'm determining the quality of that journey, whether it's going to be a psychological thriller or the adventure of a lifetime. I think it's really important to kind of touch upon that, that there is a destiny, but all of us in that co-creation, our free will is determining the quality of that experience. Will it be exciting and passionate and inspiring? Or will it be fearful?
Did we
determine that?
Did we agree and decide on that destiny? Was that also a co-creative? Did we say yes at some point out of before we were born, do you think?
I would say that my intuition has sensed that we all co-create in heaven with the divine all the things that are going to happen to us. Mm-hmm. At the same time, for anyone listening to this, if they don't remember saying yes to what's happened, you know, it's always best to go with your direct experience. So sometimes people have adversities that happen and they go, well, I guess I agreed to this. And what I think is healthier for people on an emotional level is, you know, put that idea aside, whether we've agreed or not agreed, but simply, can we be in this moment where, whether we remember agreeing or not, we've been given an opportunity to take any experience, whether of the greatest joy or the deepest adversity, and each one is an opportunity for us to allow it to be a catalyst of our highest potential. So whether we remember creating or not creating or not agreeing, I think what's really most important is every moment is an opportunity to evolve our soul to its highest capacity, and that's something that we can agree to in every moment.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that seems to be tricky, I think, for a lot of people, they might understand what you're saying, but when the emotions get involved, when there's reactivity, which often happens in relationship, even the most spiritually awake, enlightened, supposedly enlightened person can go off the rails. And I just wonder what you're, if you've got any kind of guidance or tips for our listeners that can support them, because I would say our audience is pretty savvy, like they've done a lot of work, yeah, and yet they still, either they're struggling with this piece, or I guess some might be pretending that it's not there. So when you know that spiritual kind of persona that some people,
yeah,
go, I'm calm, and then they're not.
Right.
That. So any guidance for our listeners in that area?
Well, absolutely. I think that if we're going to approach clarity in the most heart-centered perspective, because all my teachings are always coming from what's the most loving point of view, what's the most loving approach. The most loving approach is the goal isn't to not have negative emotions, but simply to ask, what is my relationship with a negative emotion? So, for example, when I am hurt, is my tendency to go within and take care of myself and to be my greatest supporter? Or does hurt that comes from other people cause me to hurt other people in retaliation? So when we're in victimhood, people who hurt us cause us to hurt other people. And when we wake up, what we realize is it's not about trying to not have negative emotions, simply because a negative emotion that someone or a situation triggers is simply bringing to your attention a cluster of emotional density that, as you feel it, has the potential to be released out of your crown chakra and released back to source. So in a sense, what we're feeling is a healing taking place. So we're not trying to get to a place where there's no emotion. We're actually getting to a place where we have the most harmonious and heart-centered relationship with our emotions, so that our emotions can actually tell us, when is the perfect time to love ourselves and to take care of ourselves? And in fact, in the book, Everything Is Here to Help You, I go through all of the most difficult emotions. And through the eyes of the soul, I decode what every single negative emotion is asking for you to do to step more into the soul instead of spiral and ego.
Wow, that's cool. I want that book. That sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because you also, I remember you saying something about In the video I was watching, there's beauty in pain, and you use two words. Like it's often interesting how just a couple of words said a certain way create a yeah. new perspective. And you said there's beauty in pain, that the pain is cellular debris. It was those two words that landed for me. Cellular debris that is then dismantling, my word, not yours, so that something new can be birthed, a bigger you, a better you, a more whole you. And I wonder if you can just comment a little bit more on that.
Yeah, when I say something like there's beauty in pain, it's because, yes, in pain it feels like we're being shattered, but in a sense, we are being broken open. And the beauty is that the vulnerability that comes pouring out from behind the cracks of a heart opening, that vulnerability is the purity of our own innocent nature that often gets shut down and repressed in childhood. So it is the vulnerability and innocence of our true spiritual power that comes pouring out emotionally when our heart is cracked or broken open completely. And so the beauty is, of course, no one looks forward to pain, disappointment, betrayal, abandonment, heartache, any of those things. But on a deeper level, can we see that while these experiences are frustrating and inconvenient, while that's true, there is a deeper purpose that every single thing is here to help us evolve into the light beings, the full embodiment of our soul that we were born to be. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I talk about in the book, Everything Is Here to Help You, is one very specific cosmic rule that in every breath is always true. And that cosmic rule is, while everything changes, it can only change you for the better. It is literally a cosmic rule in the universe that things can only come into your experience. It may facilitate change. It may create pain. It may create unexpected loss. But nothing can enter our energy field unless it was created for in the aftermath to make us better than ever before. So while everything changes, it can only change you for the better. And in that, the vulnerability that rises to the surface allows beauty to be expressed and witnessed even in the most unlikely of moments.
That's beautiful. When you talk about people possibly hurting you, and you I think you said when we're hurt by someone, and whether their behavior was disrespectful or their inability to communicate in a respectful manner, that it's their soul's way of asking for physical space. And I've never heard that. Tell me what you mean by that.
So if you're in a human body, you are on a spiritual journey, whether you believe in spirituality, whether you subscribe to a religion or whatever your flavor is. If you're in a physical body, you're on a spiritual journey. And if you're on a spiritual journey in a physical body, you are undergoing a rapid healing journey and transformation that most people are actually unaware is happening. Like if you ask a lot of people, like, why do supposedly bad things happen? They'll talk about bad luck. They might talk about karma. But the truth is that every single thing that happens is putting us deeper on a spiritual path that a lot of people don't know they're on. So when people are acting disrespectful, it is their soul's way of saying to another, my disrespect is showing you how overwhelmed by my healing journey I happen to be, a healing journey that most likely I don't even know is taking place. And my disrespectful actions are showing you that because I'm unable to conduct myself in your presence as the embodiment of my soul's highest ethics, values, and conduct, my disrespect, my anger, my unconscious behavior, words and actions towards you is showing you what I really need is physical space to process the healing that I'm going through. And so other people who are unconscious may not know, wow, I'm angry. I really need space to be with myself. So when we're in the presence of those that are treating us unfairly, that's a message to us that says, it's time for me to end this conversation. It's time for me to give someone some space so that they can be with themselves and heal and process what's going on, and I don't have to be the one affected by what is being resolved within them.
Can I take one more step in that direction? Because
of course.
I wonder, like, my impulse might be sometimes to give space, but sometimes it might be to say I love you or to hold you or to move forward.
Right.
How are you so sure that it's about space, that it's something you have to do alone? Maybe the healing needs to happen in relationship.
That's absolutely true. And if someone is able to receive love and feel worthy of love from another person, they can be angry, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to translate into disrespecting another person. So someone could be angry. Like if you have a partner who's angry, you can, of course, hold your partner's hand. You can hold them in your arms and you can love them through their pain, sadness, and turmoil. Absolutely. But when someone's feelings becomes disrespectful to their partner, they are basically saying, I'm unable to let in love from another, and I need the space to be alone so I can receive that sustenance from the universe directly. So, of course, if anyone is angry, sad, you know, bewildered, going through the grief cycle, of course, as loving beings, we're there to be with our partners. But if that person's pain causes them to project and inflict upon you, that's the universe's way of saying you're there to love them, but they're not ready to let that mm-hmm. love in quite yet. And so the really clear insight is to know when your presence helps someone, and to also know that what sometimes the greatest help you can give someone occurs in your absence.
Right. Which, again, you know, thinking of that vibrational codependency, boy, having, you know, the wisdom of the statement that you just made, it would be hard to do that because you would feel abandoned if you were codependent, or you could feel abandoned.
Of course. And I think what's interesting to know is when we're talking about conscious relationships, when we're in partnership with another, we are helping each other find wholeness within our own connection of the universe. And of course, the wholeness that we find in our connection with the universe, we share with our beloved. But I think it becomes a very slippery slope when we are saying to ourselves that I rely on someone else to give me what I really need to give to myself. Sure, my partner can be there for me, but if your partner says to you, hey, I would love to be there for you, but I really just can't do it, This is too deep for me, sure, that might bring up feelings of abandonment, and wouldn't it be perfect to know that your partner is playing the perfect role to bring up the very feelings of abandonment if at that moment abandonment is the next thing to be cleared out of your field? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to clear abandonment, you're going to manifest a moment of abandonment just to say to yourself, the abandonment I feel is a healing taking place. And instead of making it about what your partner doesn't give to you, make it about the feelings that are arising to help you take another leap forward in your soul's evolution.
Right. And what can a person do to invite the presence and conscious knowing of their soul? Because that's what you are advocating turning to, so you can free up these relationships to be whatever they are. Yes. You've got to tap into something with certainty and clarity and a feeling of safety within yourself. What can a person do to invite that? They might believe that that is possible, but they still may not be able or not sure how to do it on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. And in the book, Everything is Here to Help You, I talk about the various pillars of self-love, meaning we all know that self-love is the catalyst to open our heart to our full potential, to resolve entanglement, and to open up the door to greater intimacy. So we all know loving ourselves is the key, but when I wrote this book, I really wanted to deconstruct what does it mean to love yourself. And what it means to love yourself is to make sure you are spending time being your greatest supporter, making sure that you are well-rested, making sure that you are aligned with breath. So for example, if on a daily basis anyone listening to this interview were to take some time throughout the day and ask their heart, is there anything I can do for you to help you feel more loved than ever before? Even if your heart doesn't answer the question, just asking yourself that question allows you to be the kind of supporter that you might have been waiting your entire life for other people to be. And because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between you and another, because our mind is a manifestation of unity consciousness, by you asking yourself every day, what can I do to help you feel better about yourself? It's as if over time it starts to feel as if you're getting that same feedback from other people. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, every day we take a little bit of time to be aligned with our breath, which just means we look for the little momentary pauses where we can just take a few breaths, breathing in the light of consciousness, breathing out the things that don't serve us anymore, whether sitting in traffic, waiting for a train, or what have you. Where are the moments that we can actually align with our breath? Where are the moments that we can put our hands on our hearts and ask, how can I serve you today? And where are the moments where we can just turn inward and give ourselves the kind of compliments, give ourselves the kind of support that we no longer have to wait for other people to give us? This is where we become truly embodied expressions of light, and this is where we truly reclaim our power and find the confidence and the inspiration and the emotional freedom that's already within each of us.
So you see this whole process of self-love and becoming one with infinite love, you see that as a process within the body?
100% within the body, and there's a lot of spiritual beings that are confusing liberation with avoiding being in the physical body. Mm-hmm. So even if you have an awakening that takes you way out into the ethers, that awakening experience is a round-trip flight. And wherever we go out to, we have to turn back around and come right back to the body, because whatever wakes up inside of us has to be embodied in mm-hmm. physical form, so that the light that we carry within the cells of our body can be anchored into this planet and can radiate in all directions, so to wake up the world around us. So very much this process of emotional freedom, of self-realization, of spiritual liberation, it only occurs in the body, and that's when our journeys really become quite real, quite intimate, and quite immediate. And so we just learn to take our time. There's no rush, because this is not about how much we accomplish. It's about the quality with which we engage ourselves. So it's not about how far we go or how fast we do it. It's about how honorably and how intimately can we be with ourselves. And it's no surprise that when we can be so intimate with ourselves, we find the equal capacity to be that way with others.
And when you talk about being charmed, I love that word, charmed by your own radiance. You say you wake up in the morning charmed to be yourself. What if you don't feel that way? So I know you, like if something arises and you talk about being with what arises, your intention is to be charmed, but oh my God, something is in you and it's not, doesn't feel so charming. So what would you, what do you do in that moment?
Well, when we're not charmed by our radiance and we're more horrified by our conditioning, again, what's the invitation? The invitation is that we are being triggered to see within ourselves where judgments have been stored in our body. So when we're emotionally triggered, what we're feeling is a healing taking place, and the judgments that arise in our mind are showing us the judgments that have been stored in our body, that just by becoming conscious and aware of it, we release those along with the emotional triggers as well. So could you imagine the possibility of someone being emotionally triggered and saying, I accept that this feeling that's arising is a healing taking place. And in the next breath they say, and I accept that the judgment I have about feeling that way is another layer of debris that's clearing out of me. And could you imagine if instead of identifying with anything within us adversely, we could only see it as whatever is triggered in me is something being released. And from that space, we can be grateful about the experiences we have. We can be charmed by our innocence. We can be endeared by the sheer courage it takes to be in a physical body and to actually go through such a transformation. Simply because the transformation we're going through is not just to evolve our souls, but all the things we're healing within ourselves, we're also healing for the entire planet. So can we actually be grateful for the chance to heal all those things within ourselves, simply to lighten the load for an entire civilization?
We've got to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're speaking with Matt Kahn. We're going to come back and talk more about his latest book and the events that he's got coming up in Vancouver.
Substance over style. Now I hear you laugh, but I don't see a smile. I had a way with words for a while. If I had known, I'd have stuck around. 'Cause what kind of man lets his brother down? Friend and a brand new sound. SMS. Don't keep it all so close to the vest.
to put it all behind us. There'll be nothing to remind us. Won't hold my breath, won't wait in vain. Won't single you out, won't lay blame. I won't protest, but I won't be the same. I'm the only one that has my name.
I am one man. I can do anything. We are not far. We can do anything. One man. I can do anything. Anything. We are not far. We can.
You're listening to The Bahamas from their latest album, Earth Tones. I'm Tasha Sims. We're back with Conscious Living Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio. And we're speaking tonight with Matt Kahn. Welcome back. Hey, Matt.
Hey.
You haven't left. Could you hear the music while you were hanging out?
Oh, yeah. It was lovely. I was enjoying it.
Aren't they great? They're Canadian. Are you Canadian? Amazing. Where are you from?
I live in Seattle, Washington. I have for the last 10 years, but I'm originally from Southern California.
You're California. Okay.
I am.
So you're coming to Vancouver. You've been here before, haven't you?
I certainly have many times, but this trip is going to be extra, extra special because, of course, it's the release of Everything Is Here to Help You, which, you know, in the beginning of the intro, you were talking about, you know, Whatever Rises, Love That was a bestseller. And actually, as of a couple days ago, in a few different Amazon categories, Everything Is Here to Help You is actually a bestseller now.
Oh, cool. That's really awesome.
I'm very excited.
So you're going to be selling the book at the event. Can people get it there too, get you to sign it and all that?
Oh, absolutely. And people can also go to Amazon right now and pre-order it, as well as buy it at the venue at the event. And we're just trying to make sure we have enough copies for everyone. I just did a Hay House event in Toronto a few days ago, and the book sold out like in an hour.
Yeah. Okay. Well, save me a copy, would you? That would be
good.
I
will.
So it is at Unity of Vancouver on Oak Street. And I know on the 8th, 7:30 to 9:30, just tell our listeners a little bit about the two different things, because one's 2 hours, the other is a full day on the Saturday, I guess. Yeah?
Absolutely. On the Friday, we're going to do a two-hour event, which is, you know, I do a two-hour event on a Friday, and then the following day on Saturday, I do a full-day workshop. So at every event I do, whether it's a two-hour or a full day, all the teachings are always different, never the same, because I'm not just teaching what's in the book. The book is wonderful. It's the best thing I've ever written. But when I'm in front of a live audience, my job is to use my intuition and tune into the energy of who's in front of me and to channel the wisdom and to bring forth the healing energy through my words that allows everyone there to heal and have experiences of awakening and transformation. So the two-hour event is kind of like an introduction to this group healing process that works through me and helps transform the audience. And the next day, the full-day workshop, is a chance to dive even deeper with practices and direct experiences to really take all the healing we did in the two-hour event and really dive as deeply as possible, so by the end of the weekend, participants go back to their lives radically different than how they entered. And so every stage of my tour, I'm never going to do the same teaching. It's always going to be different. And I'm just excited to come to Vancouver and start this process where I can just introduce so many of you who are listening to this, who have been with me before or may be new to the process, how deeply and how profoundly we can shift and heal when we allow love to lead the way.
Hmm. And you talk about the actual sound of your voice somehow also being connected in terms of healing energy. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the teachings I offer, whenever I speak, I'm known as an embodied channel. And so what that means is that I've gone through so many different awakening processes that the healing energy just kind of flows through me. Like when I'm on an interview with you, I'm not really choosing my words. I just I open my mouth and these words come out. And so when I'm teaching in front of a group, what I teach, whether it's a joke or an insight, it's all based on what everyone in the room, what their soul is asking me to say. And the sound of my voice creates a current of healing energy. Someone described it once, and I love this, as I channel or I open up realms of consciousness. It's almost like fields of consciousness open up in the room as I speak, and the entire audience has a chance to have a direct experience, a direct feeling experience of what I'm talking about. So it's not just the things I say, mm-hmm. but giving everyone a chance to directly experience the profound light and harmony of the universe. So it's a very multidimensional experience, and it's a very profoundly healing experience.
So is it too much to ask right now that we tap into, I mean, it's a lot of listeners we have, but what could you do that right now? Maybe just allow whatever wants to come through you to touch our listeners.
Absolutely. So let me just take a breath. And as I bring this through, I would just ask everyone who's hearing this just to allow whatever is meant to be received for your highest evolution to be received. That in this moment, there is an opportunity to, instead of being hurt or victimized by the things that occur, there is an opportunity to be grateful for every single outcome as a gift that helps us evolve. There is an opportunity for us to not define ourselves by our circumstances, but how nobly and consciously we respond to the situations in view. In this moment, there is an opportunity for us to dive deeply into the light within us without requiring darkness to remind us how brightly we shine. In this moment, as my breath brings these words to the surface, it is simply to reflect to each and every one of you the love within you and the light that you are. It's not necessarily an emotion, but it's something deeply felt within your body. It's as close as your own breath is to you, and it is the light of the universe calling you home.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything you want our listeners to know about this event? Anything else you feel called to share? Just to give them a little taste, and maybe, you know, maybe there's some people listening who are on the fence still going, do I go? Do I not go? What's your invitation to them?
My invitation is that what I feel when I tune into the Vancouver and who's meant to be at this event, that of course this event is going to, I'm going to channel some very peaceful energy, some loving energy, some compassionate energy, so we can really soften the edges within ourselves. But what I'm also feeling is that there's going to be a large number of people at these events who really need permission to feel worthiness, to invite a flow of greater inspiration, and to unlock all the doors within them that can unleash a life of magnetic passion. So not just if you want to experience the healing on an emotional level, to feel more peaceful, loving, and compassionate. Of course, that's going to be there woven throughout the event. But if you're ready to live a life, and what I just said, I've never said those words before, magnetic passion, infinite inspiration, and if you're ready to skyrocket your worthiness, to allow all the beauty that life has to offer to be received, not sometime in the future, but right now, please come join us in Vancouver, because it's going to be quite a remarkable experience over the, over those 2 days.
Woo, now I'm doing a happy dance. That's pretty hot. Magnetic passion, love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, just speaking of magnetic passion, my mind, my heart can't help but move to relationship. And I'm just, just because it's my jam. What is your take on the purpose of relationship? I'm sure you have one.
Well, on a spiritual level, I would say the purpose of relationship is to show us, to reflect to us where our own need for love needs to be given. But the purpose of a relationship is that we meet with someone that we are compatible with at a certain level. And hopefully we're in relationship with someone we're very compatible with, and that we both up-level each other, that I help you shine as bright as possible, you help me shine as bright as possible. And as we start to help each other shine brighter in our own personal lives, we take the time to individually get to know that brightness within us. And as we discover more brightness and deeper love, that creates more gifts of love to share with our partners. So true love is two people who up-level each other constantly into renewed levels of greatness. We then take the time within our own journeys to get to know that greatness within ourselves, and then to share with our partners the greatness that they've helped cultivate within us. And that's the emotionally tantric possibility of what happens when true intimacy unites two hearts as one.
So you must think it's important then that you have two people both willing to engage fully in the process you just described. Yes?
It certainly helps.
It helps. But do you know how
absolutely.
Do you know how weird that sounds on a dating site? Like, really? It does.
I'm sure, you know. I'm sure. And again, I think what is really important, because again, we can look at this from a variety of different levels of consciousness. But, you know, there's a statement, and I forgot who said it. It's a very famous statement. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think it's so easy to get captivated by what we want and desire from a relationship. But it's really important to understand the responsibility that relationships require for us and our partners. That when we're going to really step into a relationship, and of course there's the beauty of of the magnetism between two people, there is the love that we share verbally, mentally, energetically, physically, all that. I mean, it's all wonderful. It's a great blessing to be in a relationship. But at the same time, with all of that comes the great responsibility that when we say yes to a relationship, we are saying yes to allowing the universe to up-level us to our highest potential. And our partners are saying yes to the universe, up-leveling them to their highest potential. And so we come into an agreement on a soul level that says we're coming together to up-level each other to our highest potential. And we're going to work together to shine brighter than ever before and to love each other along the way. And that's the possibility of a relationship. So it's just very important that when we are in relationship, that we really embrace the responsibility of what is occurring on a soul level.
And choosing, I think really what I'm trying to illuminate then, because there, you know, how do you choose? Would the criteria not be willingness? Or do you have to be, it's a question I wrestle with. Do you have to be willing, or do you also have to be willing and able?
I would say it's interesting because when we talk about willingness, a lot of people confuse willingness to be in relationship with looking for a partner to be in relationship with. And what I would say is that when it's true love is not something we open up to, it's something that finds us. And when we find true love, whether we think we are ready for a relationship or we meet the right person, you know, light years before we've been prepared for it, the right relationship finds us. And so I think that the greatest invitation is let's be in relationship with our own hearts. Let's get as aligned with ourselves as possible and allow love to find us instead of us trying to figure out how to find love. Because again, the willingness and ability is wonderful, but that still infers that it's up to you to find that person you're meant to be with instead of just communing with your own innocent heart and allowing that to come to you instead of you looking for it. So it's kind of just a reversing of the energies.
That's cool. You're going to put all the dating apps out of business.
Unfortunately.
Or fortunately. You've also said that if there's just one person, we continue to blame, our evolution pauses until such a belief is surrendered. Can you illuminate that a bit?
Yeah. Anytime we blame anyone for anything, we are agreeing to anchor the vibration of victimhood. one of the things I talk about in Everything Is Here to Help You is I give a different way of accessing the power of forgiveness. That forgiveness is not about saying that what happened to me is okay. And I think that's why people feel disempowered with forgiveness, because they think that in order to forgive, they have to be okay with the things they weren't okay with. And that's never never the intention of forgiveness. True forgiveness is saying, yes, this thing happened to me. Yes, this moment occurred. But forgiveness is taking the person that I think did it to me and pardoning them and saying they were just a manifestation of the universe. They were just a character to trigger and instigate and to expand my soul's journey. So true forgiveness is never forgetting what happens to us. It's just pardoning the characters that we think did those things, so we literally have no one in this world to blame. And at that moment, with no character to blame, now we are allowing some of the greatest adversities and atrocities to help us commune with the light of the universe.
And if ending an inner battle requires us to, I think you say, integrate the ego, what do you mean by that? Because are you actually saying dissolve it so that you're coming from a soul perspective as opposed to ego all the time? Is that what you're...
Well, I think the fundamental confusion is that people assume that ego and soul are two different things. So let's use the analogy that the ego is like a child and the soul is like an adult. And a child goes through growth and maturity, and the child kind of dissolves into the fully grown adult. And so when we talk about integrate the ego, it's not necessarily dissolving it and then something called the soul steps forward. It's literally allowing the ego to be rehabilitated, reformed, and matured into the full expression of the soul, just like a seed grows into a piece of fruit or blossoms as a flower. So in the same way, the childlike ego, as we learn to love it and as we learn to care for it like we've always deserved to be cared for, as we care for it the way the universe always cares for all of its creations, as we learn to be the parent to the childlike ego, then the spiritual maturity that happens within ourselves allows the ego to become a fully grown expression of consciousness, which is the embodiment of the soul's potential.
And so it would be just part of the process to experience both those things at the same time, the childlike ego, and not identify as it, identify as one's soul. So to, in order to love that childlike ego, is that not what's occurring, that you're actually identifying as the light, as your soul, loving this aspect of you that is childlike? Is that what's
100%, happening? 100%. 100%. A shift out of identifying with the victim and identifying with the one caring for the one who feels victimized. And the way we do that is by creating space and perspective within our own consciousness. And the space and perspective is created by spending time aligning with our breath and learning how to love ourselves more, not less. And of course, everyone knows love is the answer. But how does one do that? How does one actually evolve from the ego to the soul and start to see something from the soul's perspective? How do we begin to see every feeling and moment as a gift and to decode what the gift is so we can go through this evolutionary process in the most loving way? And again, step by step, that's why I wrote this book, Everything Is Here to Help You, to offer a roadmap that allows anyone on a spiritual journey or someone just starting their spiritual journey to literally undertake the most radical and profound transformation that will literally bring our souls to life as a gift to ourselves and for the well-being of all.
And they can also come out to the event, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be an amazing time. Every time I come together, we do these kinds of events. There is nothing but miracles that manifest in the most unexpected ways. It's always so much fun. I always, for some reason, make everyone laugh. And everyone walks away going, wow, that was so healing and transformative, and I had the greatest time along the way. So really, this is just these events that are coming up in Vancouver. This is a taste of the new spiritual paradigm. This is a taste of the new way, the loving way, the heart-centered way. And it's just, it's the kind of experience that really just touches my heart, that I get the chance to be a part of these experiences. And I invite everyone who's listening to join us for this adventure. It's almost beyond words.
June 8th and 9th, Unity of Vancouver. More information is on consciouslivingradio.org. We've got it posted up there. And I look forward to meeting you. I think it's 7:30 to 9:30 on the Friday night. I'm not sure of the times on the Saturday, but it's a full day event. And again, that information's up on the website. Anything else you want to say before we go? We've just got less than a minute. Final last words from your heart to the world, Matt.
I'm just so excited to be able to meet you in person. And for everyone that's been on this call, it is truly my honor to serve your soul's evolution and to honor your heart for the journey you've gone through and to let you know how worthy of love you truly are. It is truly an honor to serve you and to help you discover that everything is here to help you become the one that you were born to be.
Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Conscious Living Radio, leaving you with a bit of paradise. George Ezra, have a great night.
My love, my lover, 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 I'm in paradise whenever I'm with you. My mind,
my mind,
my mind, well, it's a paradise whenever I'm with you. Ride on. I will ride on down the road, I will find you, I will hold you, I'll be there. It's long, well, it's a mighty long road, but I'll find you, I will hold you, and I'll be there.
I know you heard it from those other boys, but this time it's real, it's something that I feel it. I know you heard it from those other boys, but this time it's real, it's something that I feel it. If it feels like paradise running through your bloody veins, you know it's love heading your way.
My time,
my time,
my time, well, it's a never-ending helter-skelter. We'll be out whatever the weather. My heart,
my heart,
my boom, boom, heart, it's a beat, and it's a thumping, and I'm alive.
I know you heard it from those other boys, but this time between, it's something that I feel.